One of the newer words that we began to hear in the late 20th century was the word paradigm. A paradigm is a way that we see a reality. There was a paradigm switch when people went from seeing the world not as flat, but as round. Industries go through paradigm changes, such as when watches went to those with movements to quartz watches. And we've seen a great shift from records to cassettes to CDs to MP3 players and beyond, or from VHS tapes to DVDs. We see a paradigm shift at the time of the American Revolution when people started seeing themselves as Americans. Our gospel today sees a paradigm shift also. The king doesn't fit the mold to what they'd always thought of as a king. There was no obvious power, no prestige, and a bound prisoner was about to be sentenced to death without any pomp or circumstance. What kind of a king do we worship? The last Sunday in the liturgical year is designated as the Festival of Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ. And this is not an ancient festival like Easter or Christmas. In fact, it's less than a century old. It was first called by Pope Pius XI in 1925. Europe was in chaos. Inflation was rampant, and colonialism was at its worst. The seeds of evil that were to produce the terror of the Holocaust and World War II were being planted. And against all this chaos and evil, the Pope established the Festival of Christ the King to declare that Jesus Christ is King. He is the goal of all humanity, the joy of all who hear, and the fulfillment of all our aspirations. Throughout our journey of the church year, we have been building to this point. Since we began our journey with the coming of the Christ child, the baptism of Jesus, the ministry of the Lord in Galilee and Judea, we walked the way to Calvary and the cross. We spoke of the empty tomb and our resurrected Lord. We've experienced anew the power of the Holy Spirit as on the day of Pentecost. Now we dare to celebrate the future, to give to the world what it needs, a new paradigm. A new kingdom to pray for, a kingdom not of this world. All around us, the world is already getting ready for Christmas. Stores have been decorated for weeks, and we are busy making plans. Some of us have already baked cookies and wrapped presents. This last Sunday of the year, before we begin our formal preparation for Christmas, is a call for us to remember that we have more than the baby Jesus of Christmas. We have a sovereign Christ. When we know what kind of a king we have, we can sing with great faith, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive her king. In today's text, Jesus stands before Pilate, who asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus tells him that his kingdom is not of this world. He goes on to say that if his kingdom was of this world, that his followers would be fighting to keep him from being handed over. Jesus and Pilate are staring each other down. The kingdom of God is going head to head with the kingdoms of this world. And that was something that happened a long time ago, wasn't it? Remember when Jesus and Pilate, or at least the church and society, were buddies. Families worshiped together. Churches were regarded as a center of community. Remember when schools respected an afternoon or an evening each week as a time for religious instruction. In the neighborhood, some kids were Catholic and some were Protestant, but everybody was something and everybody went to church. Back then, society helped the church raise her kids. Everybody knew the story of Jesus, and so the church could expect that children, when they were presented for baptism, would show up in Sunday school and confirmation class. And we could assume that when Christ stood before Pilate and said, "My kingdom is not of this world," he was not so much concerned about this life, but with the promise of heaven, with the promise of the life to come. Today, it's a different story. It's a new paradigm. In many of our homes and schools and neighborhoods, Christ is on trial. Jesus and Pilate are staring each other down as the kingdom of God goes head to head with the kingdoms of this world. Not only don't a lot of families worship together, a lot of families don't stay together. Churches have been pushed to the periphery as schools claim even Sunday morning for soccer and band. For many people, belief in God has become such a personal matter that they wouldn't even think of practicing their faith because they're not sure it has anything to do with real life. And that just goes to show that people don't really know the story of Jesus. In a recent Gallup poll, 86% of all Americans considered themselves to be Christian, but less than half of them knew who preached the Sermon on the Mount. 60% of the country was in church the year this survey was taken, but one out of four people didn't know what Easter was all about. Now, when children are presented for baptism, we find ourselves hoping and praying that their parents will take their promises, that the ones they make to Christ and to the church, very seriously. And if they don't, the children will not know about the love of God working actively in their lives. And that should give all of us great concern. Jesus stands before Pilate and says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And Jesus is right. For in Pilate we find a frightening representative of the world in which we live. Pilate's Roman Empire stood for greed, status, ruthlessness, rule by intimidation, power, and the willingness to use it. Sounds a bit like the United States and Iraq. The cross that loomed over the courtroom where Jesus stood before Pilate was just one cross of many. Thousands had died of crucifixion before Jesus was ever nailed to that tree. People knew what it was like to walk outside and see the form of a cross standing out against the sky. We can all list the terror, the threats, and the evils that we see as we leave our house each morning. "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus says, and he's not talking about heaven. He's saying that in the midst of the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of greed, status, ruthlessness, intimidation, materialism, power, there stands a kingdom of justice, truth, goodness, and peace. To the rule of intimidation, to the street sense of dishonesty and deceit, to the pursuit of power and possessions, to the way of life that does what is desirable and expedient, there is an alternative, a new paradigm, the rule of grace and truth and justice. This kingdom is God's kingdom, revealed to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the deepest sense, this kingdom is not of this world, but this kingdom is here. This kingdom is definitely at work in this world and in our lives. In Christ, we learn that God is in control, but not as a ruthless tyrant ruling by force and intimidation. God loves us so much that God gave up all control and allowed us to nail Jesus to the cross. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we learn that though we can do things to diminish ourselves, we cannot dethrone God. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we learn that though God lets us do it our way, with greed, status, ruthlessness, intimidation, and power, in the end, it will be God's way. And God's way is never to give up on us, even when it breaks God's heart by the things we do. God's way is to have a purpose for each and every one of us and for our life together. When we make Christ the king of our lives, we become part of God's kingdom. We become part of a new paradigm that is breaking through in this world, even now. We become part of Christ's kingdom that is not of this world. And when we do this, our lives begin to look different. We live lives that are counter to the way this world lives. And we're not just waiting for a reward in the hereafter. When we live our lives in God's kingdom, we begin to make a difference right here and right now. As you saw on the PowerPoint presentation of the sleep out, our youth started with a few pieces of change, maybe a quarter or 50 cents. And in less than 12 hours, they were able to raise over $5,600 for New Hope Ministries, for people who are hurting and hungry and need our help. I had the privilege of going to New Orleans with the mission trip. And I experienced what it's like to be part of God's kingdom, to be a part of hope. And that is what the people in New Orleans said, that we were bringing them hope. We didn't do it in any way to receive acclamation or anything. We did it because there was a need. There are so many things that we are doing as a church that is about bringing a new kingdom right here, right now. But we're not done. We're not done by a long shot. And I pray that each of us will be open to how God wants us to bring a new paradigm, even within this community. Sometimes it'll be in your workplace. Sometimes it will be right in this building or in the streets right outside. I don't know how the kingdom is being brought forth, but I do know that God is certainly here, that God is certainly working in each of our lives as we allow Him to. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is difficult for us to make You the King and Lord of our lives, but it is necessary that we realize as Christians that You are in control and that You are about building Your kingdom. Help us to be the instruments of that kingdom. Help us to be faithful in receiving Your grace and pouring it out to those we meet. Help us to see the ways that we have not even yet thought of that You want to do right here, right now. God, we thank You. We thank You for sending Your Son, who is our Lord and King. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.